You are Locked On Dynasty Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Here are your hosts, Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Thanks for making Locked On Dynasty your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Welcome to the Locked On Dynasty Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell. You can follow me on Twitter at RyanMC23. Joining me, as always, is Matt Williamson. Find Matt on Twitter at WilliamsonNFL. Matt, how's it going?
It's going really well. How about you?
Going well for me. Also, week 10 in the books. Can't even believe this. We've just blown right by the halfway point of the season. And I don't know, in some of my leagues, we're nearing the trade deadline. Just a handful of weeks or less left until the fantasy playoffs begin. Where is this season going, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, I say this every year, but boy, it's going faster this year than ever. I mean, I will probably say the same thing next year. Maybe I'm just getting old and don't keep up with it as well or what, but it seems like it's flying by.
It sure does. We even get an extra week this season, so we'll have to be sure and enjoy that as we go along here. Matt, it is Tuesday. We're going to talk some dynasty transactions, mainly focusing on some waiver wire targets and the situations going on with those specific players and teams. Before we get to that, though, there was a lot of interesting developments, I think, in Week 10. I want to ask you about that, and I feel like it was almost a theme that we saw some players who either had been struggling, who had been missing time, or in one case, at least, not even in the league. We saw them back on the field. We saw them producing, and I just want to get your thoughts on some of these players moving forward, if they're back for good, if we can count on these players as we finish up the fantasy regular season and move towards the playoffs. So let's start. I think we have to start with that Sunday night game, the Kansas City Chiefs. This is what we had been waiting on. It felt like it had been months since Patrick Mahomes and the boys had really produced. Hadn't been quite that bad, but it was certainly a bad 3 week stretch or so for the Chiefs offense. They finally explode against the Raiders, put up 41 points. Mahomes has 5 touchdown passes, 400 plus yards. Travis Kelce got his 10 catches, 119, I'm sorry, 10 targets, 8 catches, 119 yards. Tyreek Hill, 10 targets as well, 7 catches, 83 yards, and a couple of touchdowns. So what Chiefs team should we expect moving forward? What we saw on Sunday night or what we've seen the past few weeks where it was so inconsistent and honestly just so disappointing?
It's a great question. I think there's a lot to unpeel there. Is Mahomes still put the ball in harm's way a few times against the Raiders and got away with it in this game? You know, I mean, great. You know, I mean, he's never going to be Teddy Bridgewater, Alex Smith conservative. I thought Kelce early in the season, I don't want to say looked old, but looked, maybe he was battling injuries. I thought he moved and ran routes a lot better last night. So that's encouraging. I think it's encouraging that Mahomes and the offense did take the checkdowns and took what was given to them. My only bit of caution is the opponent. Is first of all, Andy Reid knows the Raiders really well, of course. Right. You know, I mean, common opponent. You see them all the time. And really, they're like the only of the 32 defense anymore whose base defense is that old school Seattle cover 3, single high. And it's kind of easy to play against nowadays, you know? So I'd love to see one more week. But all in all, I'm buying back in. Like, I don't have a lot of worry about those guys. And, you know, if we were doing rankings or whatever, I wouldn't have dinged them too hard. You know, we did quarterback ranks. So I moved Mahomes from 1 to 2, you know?
Right. Fun one next week. We'll be talking about this one as we lead up to week 11. The Chiefs and the Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully going to see plenty of points scored in that one.
Yeah, that should be a fun one for sure.
You mentioned Kelce. I agree with you. Certainly looked back to normal, back to what we expected, and Tyreek Hill as well with the 2 touchdowns. I mean, Hill really has certainly become known for the big play. He did have a 32-yard catch in that game on Sunday night, but not the crazy explosive play, just a couple of touchdown catches, so we'll take that for sure.
I will say there's one down the right sideline where Mahomes kind of threw it over his outside shoulder and a little out of bounds that could have been a 70-yarder or so, a little bit better throw.
Well, there were a few where I found myself saying, "Who are you throwing to?" Or "What are you looking at there?" So you're right. There were still
more plays several to be made.
Right, still several errant passes just didn't get punished with turnovers the way it has in past games. The Carolina Panthers were an interesting team this past week. They, first of all, go into Arizona, pull off the big upset, and honestly was not even close. 34-10 final over the Cardinals. A couple players back on the field for Carolina. I know Christian McCaffrey was back in Week 9, and even though performed well, put up a solid stat line, and even led the team in rushing and receiving, didn't look quite back to full strength, but I think he did in this one. 10 catches, had nearly 100 rushing yards. These are the types of box score and the type of production we expect from McCaffrey. I would think, Matt, the only question or concern here moving forward with CMC is just his health. If he stays healthy, this is what we can look forward to, right?
100%. I mean, he is what he is. He's in his prime. He's a tremendous football player that is fantasy gold because of all the receptions. I have to think his quarterback play will be a little better than it's been the last month or so going forward. But yeah, I mean, if he stays healthy, yes, that's who he is. You mentioned how that game went. It was over very quickly. Yeah. Game script was not, you know, it was not a close game. He could have had much bigger numbers, in my opinion, if they had to use him for four quarters straight. So that stuff's coming.
Well, he did get banged up a little bit in this one. And honestly, when he left the field, he missed a few plays. I don't think he even missed a full series, but missed a few plays and was right back out there after getting that leg worked on. And I was kind of surprised. It felt like they should have just rested him for the remainder of that game with that big lead. Some of the same things we were saying about Dak Prescott a couple weeks ago when he made his return to the field. But evidently they felt comfortable with McCaffrey's health. He went back out there, put up some more numbers for the Panthers and for us fantasy players. Of course, the player I was alluding to earlier that had not even been in the league, Cam Newton. It got to the point for the Panthers. Sam Darnold suffers the injury that looks like probably going to be a season-ending injury.
I don't think they're going to rush him back.
Yeah, they're not going to be in a hurry to get him back on the field. But Darnold suffers the injury in Week 9. P.J. Walker was the starter for this game. But, of course, the big news, they sign Cam Newton, get him back. Obviously, the Panthers were his original team, the team that drafted him with the first overall pick and the team he played with for so long, including an MVP season a few years ago. Only got a handful of plays, but was responsible for a couple of touchdowns, runs the first one in, throws one to his buddy Robbie Anderson. He's maybe back to relevance as well. And we already hear, basically first thing Monday morning, that Cam Newton's going to be taking the starter reps in practice and expect him to start moving forward. What do you see with Cam Newton? Certainly impressive on Sunday, but that was a small sample size. Can he keep that going?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I have no doubt about his ability to excite and energize a team or to make plays with his legs or to come in out of the bullpen and, you know, get a couple big outs, but can he go 9 innings? You know, I mean, that's what I want to see is, can he throw the ball 30, 40 times, manage a game, you know, complete the easy ones, make big plays on top of that? I'm optimistic because I like his situation and I like that coaching staff, but I don't have a great answer. I need to see it more than just that small sample size.
Yeah, I'm with you with a little bit of concern. But then I think back to last year, it felt like a very disappointing year for Cam Newton when he was with the Patriots. And I, you know, I mean, there were times where he was in danger of getting benched in favor of I can't even
Stidham,
remember the
I
guy's
guess
name.
It was?
Yeah, Jared Stidham. Yeah, yeah, that's
remember
that's how bad
thing?
It was. Yeah, that was a rough time. But so there, like I said, there was a time when Cam was in danger of getting benched for Stidham, and obviously things were not going well with the Patriots. But in a lot of those games, Cam Newton still put up fantasy points, thanks in large part to his rushing ability. I think he ended up as the quarterback 16 last year, if I remember correctly. So even what felt like a rough year for him, he still produced fantasy wise and had multiple QB1 games and weeks throughout the season. And then you think about the supporting cast, the weapons he had on that New England team compared to McCaffrey and DJ Moore. And I mean, you know, we've joked about Robbie Anderson, but he can still be
they could have used Robbie Anderson in New England last year.
Right, right. He can still be a contributing player for sure. And, you know, Terrace Marshall has a lot of promise, I still think. So this feels like a much better situation than what he was in a year ago.
Oh, without question. And I know he just got here too, and it's hard to catch up, and he's going to catch, you know, and he's going to probably start next week, and he's getting all the reps this upcoming week. But, you know, you laid it out really well, his time in New England, but a couple things I wanted to add were he joined that team very late. Mm-hmm. He himself got COVID during the season and frankly said, I was never quite the same after. And I mean, I assume he's not lying, and, you know, it affects everybody different. And that was before the vaccine was out. And I mean, it seems like a million years ago. And weapons were really poor. I'm not excusing his bad play, because I thought his play was pretty bad. But that's also what makes Mac Jones even more impressive. About as True. Mentally demanding and as much on your plate system in the whole league. You know, going back to Brady, I mean, obviously Brady's a little different, but they demand the quarterback to do more at the line of scrimmage, change plays, than anyone. So getting thrust into that environment late without much practice in camp and then the COVID situation, we probably should have predicted him not to play well.
Yeah, yeah, very true. Matt, when we come back, a couple more players and situations I want to ask you about before we move over to our Dynasty waiver wire targets.
Folks, in life, we're all bound for different things. With beachbound.com vacations, you could be bound for adventure, bound for passion, bound for discovery, or bound for togetherness, bound for immersion, bound for rejuvenation, or you just want to be bound for encountering the unexpected. Personally, man, when I'm at a beach or a beach resort, I'm bound to end up at the poolside bar, drinking my hand, maybe creating my own taco flight or having a good meal. As long as I've got a good view and a good drink in my hand, I'll be happy as can be. But with beachbound.com, you can find the perfect beach vacation for you, no matter what you are looking for. So what are you bound for? Visit beachbound.com today.
Thanks for making Locked On Dynasty your first listen every day. We are back. We have talked about the Kansas City Chiefs, their big game in Week 10. We talked about the Panthers, both Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton, looking like they will certainly be contributors down the stretch here. Matt, I want to ask you about a couple other players before we move on. Antonio Gibson for the Washington football team. They're coming off their bye. This is what we had been waiting for. He's been dealing with this leg injury. It feels like all season, really has been one of the most disappointing players in the league. And it's hard to decipher how much of that is due to that injury, how much is scheme, how much is just honestly Gibson struggling as a runner. He wasn't super productive in this one, 24 carries, which was a new career high for 64 yards, but he did get into the end zone twice. Also caught a couple of passes. And I mean, this feels like, compared to what we've seen in previous weeks from Gibson, this is a huge showing. what can we expect from Antonio Gibson moving forward the rest of the season?
I'm cautiously very optimistic because we saw very little of Patterson in this game. I mean, we know the Bucs are about the hardest team to run against in the league, and Gibson was not on the injury report this upcoming week. I mean, I'm sure there's still an issue there, and they said it's just going to take time. But to coming off the bye, I thought he moved pretty well. McKissick's probably not going away. I mean, I don't know that he'll ever be a bell cow, every down, every situation type guy, unfortunately. Because we mentioned Christian McCaffrey before. We kind of were hoping Gibson would turn into Christian McCaffrey, which probably was a little lofty. My redraft league, he was my first round pick. And I benched him this week for Devontae Freeman and Javonte Williams. You know, like, that's how down I was on. Like, I can't trust you. You know, I didn't know who to pick out the two of those three. I picked the wrong two. But I think I'm all in unless he, you know, screws it up. I mean, I think he looks pretty good.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm much more confident. You make a good point about the Bucs defense, even though they were down pretty much this entire game. Still a strong defense, and even 64 yards against that. That defense is a solid day. Hopefully Gibson continues to improve, and he's got a long way to make up for the expectations that, you know, honestly, the two of us and so many other dynasty players and fantasy players put on him. But this is a good start for the back half of their season.
Yeah, very encouraging.
Stephon Diggs in Buffalo. He has been quietly, I would say, a disappointment because he's been producing, but not like what we saw last year. But he sure did in this one in Week 10 against the Jets. Definitely a team you can get back to normal, I guess we could say, back to expectations. 13 targets for Diggs, 8 catches, 162 yards, and a touchdown. These are the types of box scores and stat lines that Diggs was producing. It felt like every other week last year, and this has been, unfortunately, an outlier. What do you think? Can we see this from Diggs moving forward? I know Cole Beasley is a little banged up. He only had a couple catches in this one. The running game continues to, honestly, be nothing special. So can we see more volume for Diggs the rest of the season, or are they going to keep spreading it out?
Well, they don't play the Jets every week, but the rest of the schedule is really nice for the Bills, too. I mean, we're talking dynasty and beyond, but he should finish second half better than the first half. My hunch is when we look back on his career in 5-10 years or whatever, 2020 will be his best season as a pro, which no shame in that. I mean, he was the best receiver in the league, basically, give or take. But I think I don't think he ever went away. And you kind of said that too. Like, Gibson went away, you know, some of these guys went away, where Diggs maybe had a little bit of bad luck. You know, he was a big fraction of what he was, but never looked worse. Didn't have an injury, you know, didn't have a bad quarterback injury or anything like that. I have no reservations about Diggs. And, you know, tomorrow we're going to do our, dynasty wide receiver ranks, and I don't really look at them much different than I did a year ago.
Okay. I would probably disagree there, but we'll hash out those rankings tomorrow. Matt, when we come back, we'll get to the waiver wire targets for this week.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Williamson with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app at the App Store or Google Play right now. Use our promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus of 25 cents per gallon on your fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catches here involved. So the cash back gets added right into your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card from Amazon. Just download the free Get Upside app and use our promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. Thanks so much.
Locked On Bets, your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets, hosted by your boy Q, with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Matt, let's finish up the show today with some Dynasty waiver wire targets. We talked about it last week. At this point, there's a good chance that all of your blind bid waiver money is gone. The waiver wire is getting thinner each week, and unfortunately, we're basically relying on injuries to really give us any type of waiver wire target. And sadly, we got one of those injuries for the Atlanta Falcons. Cordarrelle Patterson, one of the best stories of the season, his breakout year. He suffered an ankle injury. It looks like it's a high ankle sprain. Almost definitely going to miss multiple games with that. I was a little surprised with this. You would think Patterson going out would be good news for Mike Davis, but he still still struggled to produce, didn't do anything special with that additional workload. And ultimately Atlanta turned to Wayne Gallman, who came in and carried the ball 15 times, gained 55 yards. I guess this is the point that we're at in the season where we're excited to go after Wayne Gallman.
I think that's fair. I don't have high expectations. I mean, I really think Atlanta's offense without Ridley, without Patterson, probably is a lot less prolific. You know, I mean, they're not real hard to play against right now. So I don't know that there's as many first downs in plays.
It's bad news for Kyle Pitts, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been getting a ton of attention anyway. Now it's even more. But I think it's pretty clear that Mike Davis is not real high on the coach's list here. And if you're the number one back on any team in the league and Gallman has a little bit of a track record, you have fantasy value. So definitely pick him up.
Yeah, Gallman did produce fairly well last season in the same role as a backup with the Giants when Saquon Barkley was out. Mike Davis, wow.
Yeah, didn't see that coming.
Probably can just drop him, honestly, in most dynasty leagues, unless you're just in a super deep league, because you can't use him. Four carries, 18 yards, saw one target and didn't catch it. So, yeah, roster clogger for sure in Mike Davis.
They probably bring in a back in the offseason, too.
Right. Yeah. You would think so. We talked about that Titans backfield over the past couple of weeks. Of course, they lose Derrick Henry. They bring in Adrian Peterson. That was the player that most dynasty managers were chasing with the assumption that he would see the lead role. It's really been a committee between Peterson, Deontay Foreman, and Jeremy McNichols. I'm guessing at this point in most dynasty leagues, all three of those guys are rostered. But it's Deontay Foreman who's really led the way, and again, this is nothing that you're too excited about, but 11 carries for 30 yards, also caught a couple passes for 48 yards. If we're picking between the two of them, it's got to be Foreman over Peterson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I kind of felt that way a week ago, but I wasn't super strong in my convictions because we didn't see much from these all three of them. I think Foreman looks the best of the three. I don't think it'll ever be a one-man backfield, unfortunately. That offense is, you talk about crazy. I mean, you watch that Saints-Titans game, it's like, who are these people putting fantasy numbers up? I mean, yeah. We'll get to a couple of them, too. I mean, it's rough. But yeah, I want Foreman on my team. I think he has a lot of ability. He's younger. It's not a terrible situation. But man, I mean, if it's three-headed, it's a problem.
Another injury happened in Green Bay with Aaron Jones suffers I believe it was an MCL injury. Sounds like he'll miss only a week or two. Hopefully, good news for the Packers. AJ Dillon is the man there, and he's certainly already rostered. I know Marcus and Kate talked about that situation yesterday. Dillon's obviously on a roster in dynasty leagues already. Patrick Taylor saw a couple carries in that game after Aaron Jones went out. Deep league only to even grab him, but maybe somebody to consider if you're talking about 30 roster spots or more. Deontay Harris in New Orleans has put together a string of solid games. I think that coincides with Trevor Siemian at quarterback. He led the Saints, Harris did, led the Saints in receiving with 84 yards on three catches. The theme. Like, maybe he's your wide receiver three. He actually has been a wide receiver three in three of the past four games. So, like you say, it's tough to click that button and go with Deontay Harris.
All right.
Unless you get return yardage in your league. If you get points for any type of special team yardage, return yardage, then Harris is a lot more appealing. That's the scoring in at least one of my leagues where I will be grabbing him
sure.
this week.
Oh, that makes sense.
Let's finish up with the Steelers. We already know Juju Smith-Schuster is out for the year. Chase Claypool missed Sunday's game. Sounds like he'll miss a little bit more time at least. James Washington, six targets, caught two of them for 15 yards and a touchdown. Ray-Ray McCloud, 12 targets, catches nine for 63 yards. Are you bothering with either one of these guys in Dynasty?
Definitely not Ray-Ray McCloud. It makes me crazy. I seem like I write an article or have a conversation on a daily basis about why is this guy on the field so much. He's kind of certainly just a gadgety guy. Do not put much stock there. Washington's been a little disappointing to me. I expected him to really step up a little bit. And I mean, he played more snaps than Deontay Johnson, which is, you know, they were like two snaps difference. And he caught two passes for 15 yards. Like, I don't know. Maybe that ship is sailing. And he's not really a true deep threat. He's not really a great route runner. You know, I mean, like, what's his bread and butter? I'm not certain that he has one to be a regular contributor at the NFL.
And if he's going to contribute, you would think a game like Sunday with his former college quarterback under center against the Lions would be the one. He did have the touchdown, but like you said, just really struggled on the field again on Sunday. So we're not touching either of those guys. Washington probably gone after this season as well. We'll see.
I think so. Yeah,
we'll see where he lands. Matt, that will do it for today's show. Make sure you download and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember to follow the show at Locked On Dynasty. Follow Matt at WilliamsonNFL, and I'm Ryan, MC23. We'll be back next time with more Locked On Dynasty.